exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works within you. You, God, is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Oh, my God is, he's able. My God is, oh God.
Amen. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And we want to talk this morning about living with sinners. Living with sinners. Can you talk? Say that back to me, please. Amen. One more time. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. As we talk, you may be seated, about living with sinners. Too often, we find ourselves living our lives in a world without mirrors. We must understand that it is a life that is void of that which reveals a real evaluation of oneself. It is a life that keeps us and makes us avoid, causes us to avoid exposing ourselves. It is a life that keeps us from exposing our true identity. It is a life that keeps us from being aware of the fact that we are living with sinners. Amen. We are living with sinners. When I think about a mirror, I think about that, a surface that reflects a clear image. A mirror is a surface that reflects a clear image. A mirror. The aim of our sermon is for us to keep our mirrors handy. Amen. To keep our mirrors handy. Amen. Because mirrors help to keep us, it helps to keep revealing our true identity. Because we are all sinners. And a sinner is a person who transgresses against a divine law. Sin, armatia in the Greek language, means to miss the mark. We don't measure up to God's true standard, even on our best day. We're still sinners. And so this morning we look at this about living with sinners, and the way that we can keep ourselves aware is for us to recognize that we need to keep our mirrors handy. Yes, sir. Mirrors are important for our physical appearance. If you don't have a mirror, a lot of ties would not be straight. A lot of hair do's would be messed up if we didn't have mirrors. There would be a lot of accidents on the highway ways if we didn't have mirrors. So we need physical mirrors, but we also need spiritual mirrors. We need a spiritual mirror to look in. Because a spiritual mirror is the kind of a mirror that we need, because if we don't have our spiritual mirror, then the world would be a cruel place to live in. The world would be filled with more than crooked ties, but crooked people. If we didn't have any mirrors, there would be nothing to help people keep themselves in check without spiritual mirrors. And so this morning we look at a very familiar story. We look at the story of, and I hesitate to preach this, David's sin. And with Bathsheba. We won't go much into that, but what we want to deal with basically is we want to look at David as we think about living with sinners. Look at David's indictment. We see David David's indictment. We find in verse 1 that the prophet Samuel, in his prophetic role, a function of the office, would cause him to go to King David. His prophet would approach King David, and he would rebuke him. The prophet's role in the Bible was that of primarily rebuking. The Lord sent Nathan the prophet unto him. And he said there were two men in one city. Verse 2 says one was a rich man, the other one was a poor man. Now, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Verse 3, but then the poor man had nothing. He had just about nothing. He, except one little ewe lamb. One little ewe lamb, and this lamb, which a lamb he had bought and a lamb he had provided for. He had nourished this lamb. It was kind of like a family pet. It grew up together with him and his children. They did, the animal eats the same, ate the same food he did. And drank the same that the human beings had drank. And he said that, and they even they would lie in bed resting together as one with a daughter. It was like a family pet. But then there came a traveler, verse 4. A guest came into town, and the king needed to set some food before the guest. And instead of getting his own flock or to get something from his own herd to fix it for the person, for the guest, he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. I mean, he had exceeding many flocks and herds in verse 2. And here this guy is that who did not even not only have a herd, had none, and just had a pet in the house. So he comes into this man's house and gets his pet. As much as he had, and he dresses it, he cooks it, he roasts it, and serves it to the stranger. David, listening to this story, being the king, no doubt many believe, thought that the prophet was bringing a local case to him to be judged. And he said, that's what this is. And that David, in David's mind, he was thinking he was just going to render a judgment, a sentence. And so before he could really even finish, the Bible says in verse 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb, verse 6, fourfold. And that's what they would do, is give fourfold when you took something or stole something from someone. Because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David says, I want to talk to him about the penalty, and I want to talk to him about the pay. He should be receive the death sentence, and he should pay the man, give the man four lambs for the one he killed. And Nathan the prophet said unto him, thou art the man. In other words, David, I'm talking about you. You have incriminated yourself. You have indicted yourself. You have admitted to the crime that you just did. He went on to let him know that, David, God had been good to you. He said, you are the rich man. Uriah is the poor man. And Bathsheba is the ewe lamb. And when you look at that in the Hebrew, that word ewe lamb has a feminine related to that which is feminine. He's talking about Bathsheba. David, you have made a big mistake. You have taken another man's spouse. He said in verse 10, he says that You have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. David was a good man, but David was a sinner. David was a sinner. God told him, David, he says that I have given you, you have been blessed, David, of God. Verse 7, he says, God anointed you. God allowed you to serve in the highest office, giving you the highest honor that could be given to man. And now you have caused God to have distrust in you because of what you have done. You've proven not to be able to be trusted, David. He said, David, not only that, had you received the highest honor known to man about being anointed, but God delivered you from your enemies. God gave you, in verse 8, your master's house. God gave you, David, your master's wives. All of that came with the office when you got it. You had the house of Israel. You had the house of Judah, the northern and southern kingdom. God has been good to you, David. You had no reason to do this. It was not right. There was no justifiable explanation as to why you even needed to do this. And he says that not only that, you have, God gave you all of that, and if that had been too little at the end of verse 8, he would have given you, the Bible says, such and such. Amen. Such and such. In other words, much more. Amen. I didn't know the Bible would use such and such, but he would use, amen. God would have given you whatever you wanted. He would have given you such and such. Amen. You fill in the blank. God would have given you all these things, David. Why is it that you have despised the commandment of the Lord in verse 9? David, you done broke four commandments on one sin. You done deceived and lied about it because you've been hiding it. And you didn't want nobody to know you had did it. You took his wife. That's adultery. You committed murder, and you coveted. You don't spend four commandments, David, on one sin. But yet, David is known as the man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. And you will find next week or the week after that God forgave David of all this, and we're not going to get to that yet, but David, you could have had anything you want. Why, how is it we see David's, how intolerant David was of another man's sin? Oh, we're intolerant of other folks' sin, when it comes to other folks' sin, aren't we? Aren't we very intolerant of other folks' sin? David got mad. David judged this man and jumped down his throat before he could even barely finish talking. The Bible says David was very, his anger was greatly kindled. David's anger was greatly kindled. The Bible says that David was infuriated, according to the Holman Study Bible. The New Living Translation said that David was furious. The Messenger Bible says that David exploded in anger. He exploded, And he was ready to sentence that man. He says, what should he get? He should die. David was very intolerant. And it's so amazing, absolutely amazing, how we get mad about other people's sin. We are ready to straighten out just about everybody. We walk into a room as if, you know, I'm really the only one here that's got it all together. Oh, I know him and I know her and I see them and I see them. But, you know, I got it together. Amen. We are so hard on other people, and we don't realize that we are living in a world full of sinners. We're living in a world with sinners. See, I don't think we really, Brother Burns, found out what really happened back there in the garden. Everybody got messed up. While we busy with our little microscopes trying to watch everybody and see everything, and while we are trying to straighten out our husbands and our kids and our spouses and our churches and our co-workers, we forget that we are living with sinners. We forget that we're living with sinners. We're not in heaven yet. We're just at church. Now, these are struggling people. Now, the thing about a sinner is you got to understand, sinners will get on your nerves. Sinners will hurt you. Sinners will disappoint you. They will let you down. Sinners will break your heart. Some sinners, you know, sin embarrasses us, doesn't it? But what we got to understand and that we got to recognize is really what happened. You're living with people who have fallen natures. And don't go trying to find nobody and idolize them. Just don't do it. Don't even get that started. Don't even get that started, because God gonna make sure that you don't find anybody in the world to fall in love with. And the way that happens is because we're all sinners. Just when you think you found somebody. Just when you think you have run up on somebody that's okay, you stick around them a little bit longer, you find out you a sinner too. I thought I had found somebody who I found. You're not going to find them. The search is over this morning. The search is, that's what I'm telling you. The search is over. Now, if you don't expect something, you can't get let down. God is not going to let you find one human and make him out of an idol. Eventually, you'll find out that he's a... I just want to see. You keep living and look close enough. And wait long enough. I mean, God ain't gonna let you find no able. There's only one perfect person that ever walked the planet. All the rest of us are messed up. I guess what I'm saying is we keep on trying to figure out, why did they do that? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? How did you let that happen? We come to folk like, what in the world's wrong with you? What? Now, get this. The one that hit the ceiling was a sinner too. Now, while he's arguing about a lamb, he done had a man killed. You understand what I'm saying? Verse 6, are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I don't know if y'all with me or not, but I'm talking about the man that exploded, was jumping down this guy's throat for killing an animal. And you done killed a man. And you expecting there is that problem that we are intolerant with others, but there's an inability to see our own sin. I'm not just talking about everybody in the world is a sinner. I'm talking about you too. Tell you, shout me too, amen. You see, we got our spyglasses, and we're shocked, I guess is the word, over the fact that people are not perfect. You say, well, I guess if I go to church, I'll get close to some. Now here you are with your toe up self trying to find some, but I'm going to go to church.